Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Shabbos Daf Vov. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur at the middle of Daf Vov, Omid Aleph. You'll notice a two dots that appears in the middle, and following it, a very long Tanaic source, as is illustrated by the framed section of Gemara that runs till three lines from the bottom. Before we begin the source, as it is, you will notice in the source a series of triangles. We feature on the side under our Nosei Mivneh heading, the Nosei being the topic and Mivneh being the structural note, a triangle, and we also indicate our Arba or Dalad Rishuyos de Shabbos, the four domains as regards Hilchis Shabbos, regarding the Moloch of Hoitzah, of transfer of item from one domain to another. We can say them before we learn the text. We can just mention them. There is a Rishus HaYochid, a private domain, a Rishus HaRabim, a public domain, a Karmelis is a third type domain, which we have to define, and number four, a Mokum Ptur. And you can see they are listed, and we've numbered them in the source itself right at the beginning. So with that introduction in mind, and we might as well also say that the information in this source would be very helpful to have known at the very opening of this Masechta, but it's presented here on Daf Vov. We continue. Tanu Rabbanan. Arba Rishuyos L'Shabbos. There are four domains with regard to Shabbos. 1. Rishus HaYochid. 2. Rishus HaRabim. 3. Karmelis. 4. Mokum Ptur. And we will define each one. V'ezo hi Rishus HaYochid. You can see the triangles are positioned at the point the Gemara will define each one of the domains. So what is a Rishus HaYochid? Answer, Charitz Shu Amoik Asor of Rochav Dalid. An example would be a ditch that has a depth of 10 Tfachim, 10 handbreadths, and a width of 4 tfachim. V'chein goder, shehu gavoya asor, v'rochav arba. Likewise, a fence that has a height of 10 tfachim and a width of 4 tfachim. Zu hi rishus hayochid gemura. This is a complete rishus hayochid. This expression will be analyzed later. There are actually two words that are going to arouse the curiosity of the Gemara. The expression zu hi rishus hayochid would tend to exclude something else, and gemura, a complete rishus hayochid, also is somewhat exclusionary. What is it here for? That will be dealt with later in the Gemara. The ezu hi rishus harabim, what constitutes a public domain? Sratya uplatya gedola, a large stratio is a highway. Rashi says Mesila Shochem Bo Meir Le'ir, and we would call that an interstate highway. Platio is a plaza where many people gather together for commercial purposes, like a market. Mevuos Hamufuloshin and Mevuos Mufuloshin. These are alleyways or streets that are open at both ends, as opposed to a dead-end street, but rather a through street. We can call that would be an appropriate term for Mevuos Hamufuloshin. There, it's a through street that, and Rashi said that enters into into one of these interstate highway type things. When it's a major boulevard, so they're through streets that open into major open areas. Zuhi Rishus Harabin Gemura. Again, this expression that we featured above with the Rishus Hayochid appears here as well. Ein Motzi in Rishus Hayochid Zu Rishus Harabin Zu. The Ein Machnisin Rishus Harabim Zu Rishus Hayochid Zu. These are ideas that we saw at the very first Mishnah of our Masechta, the opening Mishnah. One does not transfer items from the private to the public areas, nor from the public area to the private area. V'im hotzi v'ichnis, if he did transfer an item in one of these directions, so b'shogeg chayav chatas, if he does so unwittingly, he'll be obligated to bring a sin offering in the Beis HaMikdash. B'mezid, if he did so knowingly, then onush kores, he will be subject to the kores penalty if he did not receive a warning, and v'niskal, and he potentially could be stoned if he was warned by two witnesses that he is about to do a Shabbos violation, meleches hoitzola. That, as we can see, is a very serious offense. It's one of the 39 meleches Shabbos, all of which carry this penalty with them. Avol. Now we're entering a third realm. Yam ubiko vistavonis vehakarmelis ein olo kirshus harabim olo kirshus hayochid. The sea, the biko is a type of valley, of or area of fields. Vistavonis would be an area that we've seen before in the form of the term, or using the term stov. These are stools or benches that are positioned along an area where there are stores, and the vendors or the merchants sit on these things. The Carmelis, the appearance of this word Carmelis is a bit odd, and the Gemara will focus on this because all of these things are a Carmelis, and the Gemara will ask that very question. Why do you say Viha Carmelis and the Carmelis when in fact the Yam, Biko, and Istavonis are examples of Carmelis? As we say, that will be dealt with later. So these things, these areas, Lo Kishus Rabim, Velo Kishus Hayochid, they're not like a public area. It's not like the Rashi said, the Digle Midbar, which is the camp of the Jews in the desert, as that was a place that was made, that was positioned or set up for public walking. These areas are not. Obviously, the sea and the fields are not for public walking. And it's also, that makes it not a Rishus HaRabim, the lo Kishus HaYochid, nor is it like a private domain, insofar as there are no walls around this, which is characteristic of a private domain, a fenced off a private area. These are not fenced off. The ein noisin v'noisin besocha. The nature of the Carmelis is that one is not allowed to carry within or in those areas unless they stay within an area for amos. V'im nosa v'nosan besocha potter, and if one did carry items around within the Carmelis, so he is exempt from a Torah-level penalty. He's in violation of a rabbinic teaching, but not a Torah-level offense, and hence he would not bring a sacrifice, and even if he did it willing or knowingly, he wouldn't be chayev what we mentioned above. The ein motzien mitocha l'shus rabim v'lo m'shus rabim l'tocha. Likewise, one is not allowed to transfer items from a public area into these areas, nor vice versa. Likewise, one is not allowed to transfer from a private area that may be adjacent to a Carmelis in either direction. If one did transfer from a Carmelis to a Rishus HaYochid or Rishus HaRabim, he is, again, potter, meaning he is exempt from a Torah-level violation. No Torah-level violation has taken place. The continuation of this source, this particular statement, we've noted above, based on Rashi, that this is not a continuation of the definition of the four Rishios. So we can say it's a type of separate statement. Chatzeros sherabim umuvos she'enon mufuloshin. A chatzer sherabim is a courtyard onto which a number of private dwellings open into. Rashi says chatzer sherabim she psuchin lechatzer botim rabim. Many homes open to this public courtyard. The chatzer psucha lishus rabim. The chotzer, in turn, opens onto a public thoroughfare. Uvenei habotim yotzim derech chotzer shus rabim, and the homeowners that whose houses open into this courtyard, use the courtyard as a path, if you will, or a means of getting to the public thoroughfare. So the Chatzeru Sherabim and the Mevu'ois She'enon Mufloshim, these are roads that are, we would call them dead-end streets. They're Mevu'ois, they're streets or alleys that are not through, they're not through streets. They're closed on one side. In other words, they may open into a public thoroughfare, but they themselves are not open on both ends. Irvu mutarin, if the people living around these areas, over the homeowners in these around these public courtyards or the houses that open into the mavui, if they make an iruv, this is a symbolic means of connecting all of the owners together to form, in a legal sense, a singular ownership. In other words, all the people pool together some food stuff and thereby create a joint entity. So then mutarin, it's mutar then to carry from the houses into this public, into the chotzer, or from the chotzeros into the mavui that's not mufulash. However, lo irvu asurim, if they did not make this joining effort, this eruv chatzeros or shitif mufos, as they are known, then they cannot carry from their private homes into these areas, nor from their chatzeros into the mavui. We have another triangle and a four along the side of the Gemara text, indicating that this is the fourth domain, the last one, the Mokum Ptur. Adam Oimed Alhu Iskupa. An Iskupa is a stoop that leads into a house. So a person could stand on an Iskupa, Notel Mibala Bayis, the Nosenlo, he can take items and give to him the Balabayas. The Balabayas we've seen in the Mishnah is the person within the Rishos HaYochid. No tail the Oni v'nosenlo. Likewise, a person standing on the Askupa could take from the Oni who represents the Rishos HaRabim and give things to him. Ubavash lo yitol mi Balabayas v'nosenlo Oni, or me Oni v'nosenlo Balabayas. One restriction that we do have with regard to the Mokum Ptur is the person should not serve as a go-between or a conduit to transfer stuff from the person in the house to the person in the Rishus HaRabim, the public thoroughfare. Ve'im notav enosan, if he did that, so shloshtan pturin, all three characters will be exempt. Once again, no Torah violation has taken place. Certainly, the item did not go directly from the public thoroughfare into the private thoroughfare, but rather went through the person on the Askupa. Achirim omrim Iskupa mishameshes shtei rishios. The Achirim say that the Iskupa can serve two domains. Bisman sheha pesach pasuach kilifnim, when the door of the house is open, then the Iskupa takes on the nature of the house. Pesach na'ul kilachutz, when the door is closed, so it is then considered like the outside. The Rashi says that this will be explained later in the perek, so we'll wait till we get there when this is this will be a source of the Gemara's elaboration. V'im hoisa iskupa gavoa asor v'rochova dalid hareze reshus liatzma. If the iskupa has these dimensions, it has a height of 10 and it has a width of 4 by 4 tvachim, then it becomes a domain unto itself. The statistics or the dimensions given here would make it sound like a Rishus HaYochid. However, Rashi points out, based on the Gemara later on, that the teaching here that says it's a Rishus Li'atzmo indicates that you wouldn't be allowed to carry items from the house to this Askupa, even though they're both Rishus HaYochids. As we go on, we're going to note with a house form, and we indicate on the side of the Gemara, the Mivneh, under the structural note, we indicate that this, the use of this house will continue till Daf Ches Amud Beis. It's quite a long distance from where we are right now, but they all represent Situtim, quotes me HaBraisa of Dalad Rishios. We have this long Braisa that we just finished. There will be quotes along the way in the Gemara, all of them explaining the different phrases and halachas in this particular Braisa. So we will go in order. Omar Mar, this, we have a little arrow just to help you along to find where this quote comes from. You can see the arrow to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text and align it with the arrow above. You see the line from which this quote comes from. Zuhi Omar Mar is a quote. Zuhi Rishus Hayochid. When you say this is a Rishus Hayochid, what are you intending to exclude? What would not be considered a Rishus HaYochid? The Utei Hadar of Yehuda, the point of this Tanaic source is to exclude Shitas Rabbi Yehuda, the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, that includes another setup as being a Rishus HaYochid. So we'll now learn what Rabbi Yehuda's setup is and understand that our source above is coming to exclude this teaching. Desanya. So here we have a source featuring Rabbi Yehuda. Yeser al kenom Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda goes further. Yeser means furthermore. Goes Rabbi Yehuda. Mishiyesh lo shnei baltim shnei tzidei rishus harabim. Imagine a public thoroughfare, a public street, a major street, and on opposite sides of the street, you have houses facing one another, two houses facing one another, and let us assume that you have the same person owns both of these houses, just for our illustration. Oise, he can make, and we continue at the top of Omid Beis, Lechi Mikan v'Lechi Mikan. A Lechi is a vertical post. He could take a post, two of these vertical posts, and Rashi says at the top, Lechi Mikan v'Lechi Mikan, B'shtei Peois Shel Echad Min Abotem. Affixes these two posts to two corners of one of the houses. So we have these two facing houses, one across the street from the other, and on the two corners of one of the houses, the two corners that are adjacent to the public, to the street, he has these two vertical posts. They serve as a hecker, a point of recognition, and what that does is that the area between the two houses becomes a Rishus HaYochid. Another method of creating this Rishus HaYochid, Okura Mikan V'Kura Mikan. Let's read that again. Okura Mikan V'Kura Mikan. Okura is a cross beam whereby he would set us a cross from the two houses, a horizontal beam connecting the two houses. He would have two of these beams, and as a result of that, v'nosein be'emtza, then in the area, which in effect is the street itself, he were in the middle of the street, because these two houses were on either side of the street, so the area between the two houses in the street becomes a private domain as far as Rabbi Yehuda is concerned, and you could carry in that area, in the area between those two houses. Omru lo, the rabbis who disagree with Rabbi Yehuda said, Ein ma'arvin rishus ha-rabim bekach. One cannot make an eruv, a type of, we'll call this a joining device, in the midst of a public thoroughfare. Rashi points out very importantly, in order to appreciate Rabbi Yehuda's point of view, on the second line from the top where we've dashed underlined, the Rashi says the Kosova Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda's of the opinion, Shnei Mechitzos Havu Rishus HaYochid Midoraisa. On a Torah level, a Rishus HaYochid is defined as an area having two walls, two fences, two mechitzos, so that the two houses on either side, on either side of this through street, form the two necessary walls to create a Rishus HaYochid Midoraisa. So from a Torah perspective, this is the area between the two houses and is in fact viewed as a private domain. So we have these two proper mechitzos creating the Rishus HaYochid, and then the additional heker factors, the vertical poles, the lechis, or the horizontal poles going across from one house to the other, the koras, to complete the picture on a rabbinic level as far as Rabbi Yehuda is concerned. In other words, the rabbis impose this need to make an additional sign of recognition of concerning the joining of these houses to create a Rishus HaYochid, when in fact the two houses themselves create that phenomenon on a Doraisa level, but the rabbis insist on a little bit more. However, the Chachomim disagree with Rabbi Yehuda in his construction and hold that two mechitzas does not create a Rishus HaYochid Doraisa. The Gemara continues, Ve'amai korulei gemura. We saw in our source the term Vezuhi Rishus HaYochid Gemura. We understand the expression Zuhi Rishus HaYochid was an exclusionary, is excluding Shitas Rabbi Yehuda. And Gemura means complete. So what do you mean by that? We should just note that we have a little call it a squiggled arrow to the immediate left-hand side of the text, both on Vav Amud Aleph, and here you can see to the left-hand side of the Morah text here on Amud Beis to help you find where this is coming from. So when you look back at Vav Amud Aleph, you'll notice the squiggled arrow with a Vav Amud Beis indicator next under it. So the term Gemura, what is gained by saying this is a complete Rishus HaYochid? So Mahu Detema, one might have thought, Ki Pligi Rabbona Leid Rabbi Yehuda, Dolohavi Rishus HaYochid. When is it that this is all a Havamina? This is what one might have thought, but one should not think this in the end of the day. One might have thought that when do the Rabbonan disagree with Rabbi Yehuda in saying that the two houses on either side of the street are not a Rishus HaYochid? Let's read this again. Ki pligi Rabbonan alei Rabbi Yehuda delo havi Rishus HaYochid. Hani mili, when is that? That's litaltel, to carry in the area between the two houses. And they would ban that. Avol lizroik modulei. But if it involved throwing something from further up the street, an area beyond the two houses, and throwing it into the area between the two houses, so that they would agree with Rabbi Yehuda that that would be considered a Rishus HaYochid, and hence be Chayev, because if he's throwing from an area further up the street that's not between the two houses, so that's clearly a public area. So he'd be throwing from the public area into the area between the two houses. Maybe the Rabbonin agree with him that as far as stringency is concerned, we will consider it a Rishus HaYochid, the area between the houses. Komash Molon, what the Brisa tells us, is not so. That the area between the houses, as far as the Rabbonin are concerned who disagree with Rabbi Yehuda, that area is not a Rishus HaYochid whatsoever. Not for lenient purposes, nor for purposes of stringency. And therefore, if a person is further up the street, within four amos, we'll say, so that you don't have a problem of Madri Dalet Amish Bereshis Rabim either. He's just beyond the area between the two houses, and he throws something into the area between the two houses. He has not violated for going from Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYochid, which in fact is a point of leniency. All of this information is therefore contained in the use of the word Gemura. Continuing, Omar Bar, Zuhi Rishus HaRabim. We saw in the source this expression that the Stratya Platya are the examples of Rishus Rabbim. And it says these are Rishus Rabbim. What is not? Limute mai. What are we coming to exclude? Limute idoch de Rebbe Yehuda. We're coming to exclude another din, another teaching of Rebbe Yehuda. Disnan. We have a Tanaic source. And before we learn the Tanaic source, we have to say a word about this. There is a special allowance, if you will, regarding a pit containing water, a water pit, that's known in Halacha as Pasei Biros. Pasei Biros is an arrangement where you have a hole, a pit, and surrounding the pit, you have right angle boards set up, each board measuring an amo by an amo, and the area contained within these right angle boards set up around the pit makes it such that the area contained within these right angles is considered a Rishus Hayochid. And we have a little diagram that you can see on the in the margin of the Gemara, an aerial view of what this setup of Pasei Biros would look like. Again, this is an aerial view. So as we said, the area contained within those right angles is called a Rishus HaYochid, enabling you to draw water from the pit to feed, either take to drink from or feed your animals. And there's more background to this that you can find by looking in the Rashi. This is a special kula that the Chomer made for the Oilei Regolim. This bor, in fact, is found in the middle of a public thoroughfare. However, by setting up the Pasei Biros, the right angle boards, forming this, we'll call it imaginary fence, even though there are very big gaps between them. In fact, you could have up to 10 amas of open space between these boards. Nevertheless, the area contained within them is considered a Rishus HaYochid. And that means that even if that area is found in the middle of a highway, the area within the Pasei Biros is considered a Rishus HaYochid. So now that's background. Let's now take a look at the source. We said that Zuhi Rishus HaRabim, that the example in the Tanaic source of the Sratya and Platya and the Mevos and Mufuloshim, they are Rishus HaRabim to the exclusion of something else, to the exclusion of another teaching of Rebbe Yehuda. Disnan, Rebbe Yehuda Omer, Im Hoysu Derech Rishus HaRabim Mafsakosan. Rebbe Yehuda, in looking at Pasei Biros, says that if a public thoroughfare is running through the area contained within these Pasei Biros, you would have to move them to the side. In other words, according to Rabbi Yehuda, a public thoroughfare will undo the Pasei Biros from being an effective enclosure. The Chachomim omrim eino tzorach. The Chachom say, no, you don't have to move them aside, because even if a public road is going through the area contained within the Pasei Biros, they represent a Rishus HaYochid, the area within the Pasei Biros. And therefore, we can now understand what our source was saying on Omed Aleph, that the Sratya and Platya and Mevois Mufloosh, they are Rishus HaYochid, but not they are Rishus HaRabim. They are representative of a public thoroughfare, and not the case of a road going through the Pasei Biros, because that, as far as the Chachomim are concerned, is not a Rishus HaRabim. So on that point, Rebbe Yehuda stands in disagreement and says that a public road going through there is, yes, considered a Rishus HaRabim. The Chachomim saying, no. If you want to know what is a Rishus HaRabim, so we refer you back to the source, on Omer Aleph, where it featured the Sratyo and Platyo and Mevuos Hamufuloshin. Continuing in the Gemara, the Amai Koru Le Gemura, why did the source on Omer Aleph say that the Sratyo, Platyo, Mevuos Hamufuloshin are a complete Rishus HaRabim? So the Gemara says there really is nothing significant in the use of the word Gemura over here. Rather, Aidi the Tana Reisha Gemura, since the Reisha used the term Gemura, and we explained a few lines up why it had to say that. Tana Nami Seifa Gemura, the Seifa also uses the expression, the Seifa dealing with the Rishus HaRabim. The Gemara asks, V'lachshav Nami Midbar, to Ha'atanya, why not consider in the list of Rishus HaRabims the desert? For we have a Tanaic source that says, Ezu Rishus HaRabim, what is a Rishus HaRabim? Shratyo, Platyo Gedola, Umuvol Samufuloshin, VeHamidbar. So you see very similar items mentioned in this source, like we saw in Amud Aleph, but the source also adds the desert, and we've dashed underlined to show that's what we want to emphasize in our question. The Gemara answers, Omar Abai, Lo Kashia. There is no disagreement between these two Tanaic sources. Kan Bizman Yisrael Shuyim B'Midbar. Kan Bizman Hazeh. When the Jews were exiting from Mitzrayim and they sojourned in the desert for 40 years, so the desert constituted a Rishus HaRabim. However, nowadays, when the desert is deserted, so it does not consider it's not considered a Rishus HaRabim. The Gemara continues. Omar Mar, Im Hoitzi Vehichnis, if he carried from a private domain to a public domain, or from public domain to private domain, which would be Hichnis, Beshogeg Chayev Chatas Bemezit Onish Kores Veniskal. If we did it unwittingly, not aware that this is a malacha, or not aware that it's Shabbos, so he would be guilty of he would be obligated to bring a sin offering, and if he was aware, then he would be chay of the kores penalty, and if he received warning by two witnesses, he would then be subject to skila. B'shogeg chay of chatas. The source had said that if he did it unwittingly, so he's obligated to bring a chatas sin offering. Pshita, that's obvious. That is the case with regard to all. Loisa says that in the mazid form would be chayiv kores. So in the shogeg form, we know as a rule, bring a korban chatas. So the Gemara says that, you know, the question of pshita is, why do I have to teach you something that we know already? The Gemara answers, b'mazid onish kores v'niskal itzdericha lei. The continuation of this source is what is needed, and that if he does it knowingly, he knowingly is moitzi and machnis from surrounding shrusayoch and vice versa. So he's chayev kores and could be receiving skila if there are witnesses. So the Gemara asks, well, ha nami pshita? That information is also well known, and Rashi points out we know this from the story in the Torah of the Mekoshesh. Mekoshesh was someone who violated the Shabbos and was subject to the death penalty. The Gemara answers, Ho komashmulan, the source in which we learned that if he was moitzi machnes b'shol yischayv chadus meitzel oshkos v'niskal, reveals the following, Kida Rav. It's teaching me that which Rav taught. Before we go further, just let us note that we have a long answer marking. The Tufnet's encircled to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text and descending vertical dashed line shows us all of these lines form the answer. And the answer to the question of why do I need to be told the dinim here of Shogeg and Mezid. So the Gemara answers, Ha'kamashmon k'derav. We are teaching you like that which Rav teaches. The Yomar Rav. Motzasi Megillah Storim Bei Rabbi Chia. I found a private notebook. That's a Megillah Storim. Rashi gives a little more background to where this term comes from and what's the significance, but for our purposes, we'll just simply say that Rav found a private notebook of recording, these are the points recorded from a Torah lecture, and I found it in the Yeshiva of Rebbe Chia, the Kosov Ba, and I found it in found written in this notebook, Isi ben Yuda Omer, Ovois Melochos Arboim Choser Achas, V'eino Chayov Elo Achas. The language here is not accurate. So what we've done with our markings is we've put in brackets the entire section of the Gemara that deals with the has the problematic text and the Gemara's correction of it, and then following the brackets we have the corrected version, so that if we initially skip the bracketed section, we'll be able to see what the main point of this what the main point of the Gemara is, and then we'll go back to deal with the text. So the source reads, reading from the beginning, Isi ben Yehuda Omer, Ovos Melochos Arboim Choser Achas. Eino, notice how we skip these bracketed, the bracketed section. You can see the bracket length indicator showing you how many lines are in brackets to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara with the vertical dashed dotted line. So we skip the brackets, and we have said that the chief melachos of Shabbos are 39 in number. Eino chayov al achas mehen. One of them, meaning one of the 39 ovos melachos, does not generate the standard penalty. For in other words, he won't be chayev if he does it bemazed. He won't be chayev skila. So that's what was found in this notebook. The Ha-Komash Malon, our Braisa, informs us, Ha-Mehanoch de-lo mesafkan. The Malach of Chaitzah is not one of those that we are in doubt concerning it being exempt, being namely, would not generate a Chiyuv Skila. So, in simpler terms, what our source informs us by saying that Bishogi Chayev Chavdus Amazed Onish Koris Beniskal is that Hoitzah is a full blown Malacha carrying these penalties, and it's not subject to being considered maybe as one of those that he would not be Chayev for. Okay, now let's go over the bracketed section by reading this source again from the beginning, Isi ben Yehuda Omer, Avos Melochos Arboim Choser Achas, V'eino Chayov Al Achas, V'eino Chayov Elo Achas. So the translation would be that there are 39 chief Shabbos violations known as Avos Melochos. These are forbidden Shabbos activities. And he's Chayov only one, which would sound like if he were to have done all the Ovos Melochos on Shabbos, he would be considered responsible for having violated only one, which would, practically speaking, if he did it all b'shogeg, if he was unaware and did all of the Ovos Melochos, he would bring one sin offering. So the Gemara points out, Eini, is that so? The Mishnah on Daf Ayin Gimel mentions that there are 39 Ovos Melochos, and in addition to mentioning that, it also lists the 39 Ovos Melochos. The Havinon Ball, and we ask, Minyono Lomali, of what value is there in telling me the number of Ovos Melochos? Simply list the Ovos Melochos, I can count on my own, and I'll discover that there are 39. So what is the purpose of the number? The Omer Rabbi Yochanan tells us, Shimason Kulam Behelo Me'achas, if he violated all 39 Ovos Melochos in one state of lack of awareness, in other words, he baked, and he sowed, and he planted, and he winnowed, and he ground the grains, he did all the Ovos Melochos, in one state of lack of awareness, chayav al kol achas v'achas. He will nevertheless be chayav a separate korban chatos for each one. So to suggest, as the original text said, the eino chayav elo achas, is simply wrong. You notice with our markings, we dashed underlined the original text in the source, and this dashed underlining, and you can contrast how the original text is fallacious. Elo emo, so rather say, eino chayov al achas mehen. Of the 39 ovas melachas, there is one that he is really exempt from. In other words, it constitutes a violation, but if he does violate, he wouldn't be chayav skila if he got a warning for it. Now, the question is, which one is it? Well, we can't answer that right now, but we can tell you one thing. The ha kamash malon, the brisa above, where our house marking appears, where it said, v'shogi chayav chas, mezid, onish, goros, v'niskal, is telling us, ah, ha, meaning, haitzah, mehanoch delo misafgan, is not one that would be in doubt. In other words, the doubt about being exempt would not refer to the hoitzah, as that is certainly chayav b'shogeg chatos and b'mezid kores and skila. Omar Mar, again a quote from the source on Omar Aleph, avoyam ubiko vistavonis v'karmelus einan lo kursa yochid v'lo kursa rabin. The Gemara asks, and we're focusing on one point here, and that's why you can see the dash underlining. O bikah, are you telling me that a bikah? Bikah is an open area containing many fields in it. Eino, are you telling me eino lo kushus hayochiv lo kushus harabim? The ha tanan. Well, we have the following Tanaic source. This source comes from Maseches Taharos. And it says, a bikah, b'moys hachamo, rishus hayochid l'shabos, rishus harabim l'tumo. The bikah area, during the summer season, b'moys hachamo, at that point, the whatever grows has already grown. There, it's not seeded at that point. And therefore, the bikah, b'moys hachamo, is considered a private area, the Gabi Shabbos, it's Rishus Hayochid L'Shabbos, being that it's not a public thoroughfare per se. People don't usually cut through fields. They don't leave the roads to go through fields. So as far as Hilchus Shabbos is concerned, they are not a public domain. Rishus HaRabim L'Tumo. However, with regard to the laws of Tumah, in other words, if there's a doubt, maybe there's a body buried in one of those fields. So we say that in the Emois HaChamo, in the summer season, it's considered a public area with regard to the realm of Tumah, and we have a rule that Sofek Tumah Birshus HaRabim, if there's a doubt, so you can be lenient and say that the Tohor status is maintained. B'Emois HaKshamim, if, however, you're dealing with the bikah during the rainy season, rishus hayochid lekach ulekach, it is a rishus hayochid not only for Shabbos. In other words, regarding Shabbos, the bikah as a rishus hayochid is true year around. There is a change with regard to the dinim of tumah, so that in the yamos hakshamim, when the fields are planted, then no one will cut through them. Passing through, the walking through a planted field will ruin the seeds. It'll ruin the crops that are growing. So therefore, since no one goes through fields during the rainy season, the winter season, so regarding the laws of Tumah, it is considered a Rishus Hayochid, and that says that if there's any matter of doubt, if let's say there's a suffix concerning a body buried in a field, and one walked through the field during the winter season, so we would say that's Sofek Tuma Bershus Hayochid, and we will declare him Tome. What we have to emphasize right now is our problem, and that is that in the source, Bikah was classified as a non-Rishus Hayochid, and here you have Bikah, and you can see how we've dashed underline, it is considered a Rishus Hayochid. especially if you focus on Shabbos, it's considered Rishus HaYochel Lagabi Shabbos all year round. So, how do we resolve this source from Maseches Taras with our Tanaic source, which said the Bika was not a Rishus HaYochid? Omar Ula. You'll notice that we have a double underline marking, and this is to emphasize the two approaches to the two answers to the question in order to resolve these sources. So Ula is number one, and when we get to Zion Amud Aleph, there is when we get to the bottom line, the next line, Rav Ashi, whose explanation goes on to Zion Amud Aleph, he represents number two. So Omar Ula, the Oilam Carmelis Havya, the Bika is a Carmelis. And that will mean that if someone is standing, let's say, on the highway running by these fields and throws from the highway into the field, he is not in violation of Hilchis Shabbos on a Torah level. The Amai Kori Lo Rishus HaYochid, why does the Mishnah in Taras refer to it as a Rishus HaYochid? Why does it call it that when you're telling me it's not a Rishus HaYochid, it's a Karmelis? The answer is, Lefi She'eno Rishus HaRabim. It's a sort of default expression. The source in Taras calls it Rishus HaYochid simply to contrast it with it not with it with Rishus HaRabim, insofar as it is not a Rishus HaRabim. It would have been more accurate, as far as Ula is concerned, to have used the word Carmelis, but the Mishnah in Taras doesn't use the word Carmelis. It simply says Rishus HaYochid, when in fact its intent is to be referring to Carmelis, and simply to exclude it, the field being classified as a Rishus HaRabim. Rav Ashi Omar. Now, Rav Ashi is a second approach to resolving the source Maseches Taras with the Brisa from that we were quoting from with the house marking back to the on Daf Vav Amud Aleph. Rav Ashi says, "Kegoyin de is la mechitzos." The Mishnah in Taras that refers to the Bika as a Rishus HaYochid l'Shabbos, it's because it is fenced in. V'chiha di Omar Ula Omar Rav Yochanan, as Ula in quoting Rav Yochanan says. Here we notice we're on the second line from the top of Zayin Amud Aleph. Karpif yoisri beis sasayim shelo hukaf ledira, vafilu kur vafilu kurayim. And then a karpif is an enclosed area that's more than two saw. A saw is a measure, a field measure, a land measure. So if it measures more than two saw, a saw is an area that we call 50 by 50 amos. So two saw would be an area of 100 by 50 amos, or 5,000 square amos, if you will. So an area that is larger than that, that was not enclosed for dwelling purposes, that's called lo hukaf ledira. In other words, if let's say there was a house that was built and it was then enclosed, so the original enclosure, well, we could say the other way around, if you had an area that was enclosed and there was no house there first, so it was enclosed without domicile purposes in mind, so even if it's a very large area, it's considered a Rishus HaYochid. So let's read this again. It's a karp of Yosem Bebeis Asayim Shalohu Kuf Ledira Vafilu Kur Filu Kuraim. Even if it measures a Kur is an area of 30 saw, and a Kuraim is twice that, 60 saw. Hazorek Lesocho Chayov. Even though it wasn't hukaf ledira, even though it wasn't fenced for domicile, for dwelling purposes, it nevertheless is considered a rishus hayochid on a Torah level. And therefore, if someone was standing outside the fenced area and threw from a public, from a highway into this vast fenced area, he would be chayev mai taimo. Why is he chayev? When after all, this large area that was not hukaf ledira, we didn't mention before, but we can tell you now, you're not allowed to carry in it. But nevertheless, mechitzahi, it is, the fencing is considered an effective fencing off, and making it into a reshus hayochid, and therefore if someone stood on a highway and threw into this fenced area, though it may be a vast fenced in area, he is in effect throwing from a reshus harabim into a reshus hayochid. Ela shemechuseres diren. The only lacking that it has is it wasn't fenced in for dwelling purposes, and therefore you're not allowed to carry within the area. So at this point, there is a bika that is unfenced. That's a karmelis. There's a bika that is fenced with a formal fence around it. That is a reshus hayochid. And that is Rav Ashi's answer. And we should point out that Rav Ashi, in presenting his answer, happened to quote Ula Amar Rav Yochanan. This point will become of value in a moment. The Gemara continues, Bishlama Rav Ashi lo omar ke'ula. I understand that Rav Ashi did not choose Ula's approach because the source in Maseches Taras used the term Rishus Hayochid. So if he called it a Rishus Hayochid, it means just that. It's a Rishus Hayochid and not a Karmelis. Ela Ula mai taimo lo omar kishmaitse. Why didn't Ula, in explaining the Mishnah in Taras, in his attempt to resolve it with our Tanaic source, why didn't he follow his own teaching? The word kishmaitse is his own teaching, and which we saw, we have arrows on the to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text to show you what we are referring to, because at the top line you saw Ula himself quoting Rav Yochanan describing the fields fenced in are in fact considered a Rishus Hayochid. But yet Ula, in explaining the Mishnah Taurus, did not use that explanation. He didn't use his own halacha to explain the Mishnah Taurus. Omar Loch, Ula answers, E de Isla Mechitzos, if the fields in that Mishnah Taurus, which was at the bottom of Avam Ibeis, were in fact fenced in, so then Bikah kori la karpifhu. The term Bikah is the term that appears in that source. But if it were a fenced in area, it wouldn't be called a Bikah. It would be called a karpif. It's a different term. Yet that term doesn't appear in Maseches Taras. Therefore, as far as Ula himself is concerned, he was the first double underlined answer. As far as Ula is concerned, the Mishnah in Taras is not referring to a fenced in Bikah. Because as we just said, if it was, the term karpif would have appeared. Rav Ashi. Now, Rav Ashi's response to that is, there's simply no denying that Rishus Hayochid Kotoni. But it does use the term Rishus Hayochid. And the Tana, by calling it Rishus Hayochid, is showing us that it is like I explained. And as Rashi says, Rav Ashi argues against Ula and says, how can you say that it's a karmelis when the Tana uses the term Rishus Hayochid? The Tana wouldn't use those terms interchangeably. And therefore, it has to be talking about a fenced-in area. So we're left with this machlokas, Rav Ashi and Ula, in how to explain the source in from Maseches Taras. But all that aside, the Bika in our Brisa would be an unfenced area that Rav Ashi and Ula would appear to agree with. The controversy between them is how to explain the Mishnah in Taras. This concludes today's Gemara section of Gemara Markings Daf Yomi. For those who are interested, our site offers a shiur on today's Daf Yomi Tosfos, presenting the Tosfos text with explanation.